Good morning, good Erev Shabbos. Last week we were discussing the topic of the nature of Torah Misinai, the extent to which Ma'amad Har Sinai is an ongoing revelation, or was it a one-time event. We, towards the end, began discussing other positions besides the Rambam concerning the question of what exactly was given when. We saw, for example, the Gemara in Brachos that said that Torah, Mitzvah, is referring to Mikra, Mishnah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Gemara, Kulam Nitnu, L'Moshe Misinai. We saw the Gemaras that say even Divrei Sofrim were given. We mentioned the Yerushalmi in Chagiga, which says, Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Asid Lahoros Nemar L'Moshe Misinai. Parenthetically, just an interesting tidbit on that phrase. That Yerushalmi is quoted very frequently as, because it's an important source. It discusses how not just what we sometimes think of what was given at Sinai, but everything. Kol Masha Talmud Asid Lahoros. So one of the things that is very, very strange is that Yerushalmi is often quoted somewhat incorrectly. The Yerushalmi actually says, Kol Masha Talmud Vasik Asid Lahoros Namar Lamosha Misinai, which is somewhat of a not as broad. In other words, it's referring to any correct Torah, as opposed to Kol Masha Asid Lachadesh. However, as I mentioned, many Svarim use the word quoted as L'chadesh. In the Netziv Kidmas HaEmek, Reb Tzadok HaKohen, the Alshech, even Rabbi Rosenzweig, in his tremendous article, Personal Initiative and Creativity in Avodat Hashem, which is from the Torah Ma'adah Journal, 1989, he quotes it as Asid L'chadesh. Even a Yerushalmi says Asid Lahoros. And there is a difference, because L'chadesh is going broader. Every single Chiddush that every single Talmud Vasek says. Now, there is a makor for perhaps going that far. It's not the Yerushalmi, but it's the Medrash Rabbah, which is quoted in a footnote in your packets. And there it says, Vafilu Masha Talmud Vasek Asid Lomar Lifnei Rabbo Kulon Ne'emru L'Moshe B'Sinai. So it says Lomar, which perhaps is going as far. Perhaps this is just a nitpick. The idea, though, that everything comes from Sinai, even, let's say, very at least, Mitzvos D'Rabbanan, as we said, is a Gemara, it comes up Derech Agav sometimes in Rishonim. There's an interesting Rivid, for example, in the end of the first parak of Erevin. The Gemara says that the principle of Omed Meruba al Haparutz is Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Hachi Agmerei Rachman L'Moshe Gedor Ruba, meaning to say that a Mechitza needs to be Rov Omed. So the Rishonim all ask that this contradicts the mission at the beginning of the second parak that says Pasi Biros Arksherim, even though, of course, they don't have Omed Ruba al Haparutz. And a number of answers are given, Hashem Mechitza, Pesach, and the like. But the Rivid answer is very simply, really, Midel Raisa, you don't need Omed Meruba. And it's just Xera de Rabbanan. Aye, what does it say? Vaha Agmere Rachmana Lemosha, Lefisha Kol Hagzeros, Shasidim Chachamim Ligzor, Nizgalu Lo Lemosha Misinai. So just because the Gemara says it was given at Sinai doesn't mean to say it's not a Din de Rabbanan. Because all dinim de Rabbanan were given at Sinai. There's other places in the Rishonim where you see that same formulation if you'd like to look in the footnote. Yes?
The idea that all Kedushin are
given at Sinai, couldn't that contradict Kohelas? Rashi and Kohelas. The Rashi and Kohelas says as follows. It's actually in your Makoro sheet a little later on, but the Rashi, if you want to skip to it, it's where it says the nature of Chiddush, which, let's see, here it is on page 25. So the Rashi, the Pasuk says, Kol Masha Talmud Vasek, the Rashi says, Masha Yahu, the Pasuk says, Masha Hayahu Sheyeh, Umasha Nasa, hu sheyase ve'en kol chadash tachas hashemesh. Zakt Rashi, tachas hashemesh, there's nothing new, but lamala min hashemesh, there is something new, meaning to say Torah, which is not in the sub-solar realm, is something for which is always chidushim. Zakt Rashi, a beautiful Rashi, very inspiring. Right, b'chol mashu lamed b'davar shu chalifei hashemesh, ein bo chidush lo yira ela ma shehaya kvar shenivra b'sheishes yimei b'reishes. Aval ha-hoge b'toira motzei batamid chidushei ta'amim. Kinyin shenemar dadeha yirvucha b'chol eis. Ma hadad hazeh kol zman shatinok m'mashmesh bo motzei botam. Just like when a baby's nursing, every time it nurses, it tastes something new, so too, every single time a Talmud learns, they taste something new. Ein beis medrash b'lo chiddush b'chol yom, the Yerushalmi says. And the answer to that question, I believe, is that it's not a contradiction whatsoever. Because even, especially if we take the more imprecise lashon of the Yerushalmi, kol ma she'talmid asid l'chadesh, meaning to say, chidushim also go back to Sinai, even though they're chidushim. What the Rashi and Koelis is telling you is that these are chidushim, but they go back to Sinai as well. Just like we said last week in terms of the stira within Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus. On the one hand, he was able to say, Li'olam lo amarti davar shelo shamati mi pi rabbi, and at the same time, he said things that were never said. So, just as we could resolve that, so too we could resolve this. Now, how do you resolve that? So, as we said, there are different formulations. I think Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz discusses it in one of the essays in Sichas Musar. However, one way to say it is that, we'll say it, the tzad hashaveh, I think, between the different mahalchim, and perhaps the different formulations might be substantial, but the basic mahalich is that it all comes from Torah. And whether you understand that more literally, that Hashem was literally moser everything to Moshe Rabbeinu, though apparently he didn't pass that on so that it's still begeder chiddush, or whether you understand that a little bit less literally, that what it means is that every single thing that's MS in Torah is rooted in Torah. And this is an idea that the Shla writes, that the Reb Tzadok writes a lot about. You'll have a makor for this later on. We're not going to read it together from Mesisei Laila, where he talks about how every single shtickle in Torah that's emes, at least, right? Kol ma she'talmid vasik asid l'chadesh, uses that lashon, is rooted in Torah Misinai. It's rooted in a Torah shebichtav. It could all be traced back to that, and that doesn't contradict the notion of a chiddush.
What do you read with the first part of the pasuk? It says that there's no chiddush in this world. They couldn't have iPods.
So it's a good question, and we could understand that differently.
Meaning there's no change in the basic. Meaning they're building off.
Because you can trace it back, meaning to say, if it's emes in Torah, I could find the makor for it in Torah. As opposed to, no, an iPod is a chiddush. In other words, the opposite, thank you. An iPod is not a chiddush. It's just figuring out how to do it. But it's a good question, and a chanami. So it's something to think about. Okay, so it's a good question. Maybe the question's better than the answer. We have to go back and think. So how do we resolve, again, these different makoros, whether everything is from Sinai or some things are from Sinai? And especially the problem is that presumably when Chazal were misaken takanos midrabanan, they were not aware that Moshe was already told these things. And if they were given at Sinai, then why don't they have a din d'oraisa and the like? So there are different approaches. There's Yerushalmi and Avodah Zarah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Ksiv Osi Tziva Hashem, Osi Veosi Namar Li. Dvarm Shenamar Lachem V'Namar Li. Dvarm Shenamar Beini Levein Atzmi. The way the Megillas Esther understand that Gemara is that Moshe Rabbeinu was told absolutely everything. Kol ma she'talmid vasik asid lahoros. All gzeros to Rabbanan and the like. But he didn't necessarily pass that on. Well, if he didn't pass it on, so then why was he told them? If it's important for Moshe to have been told mitzvos de Rabbanan, then shouldn't he have passed it on along with the rest of the Mesorah? So apparently, according to this Mahalich, it was necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to have an absolute and all-encompassing understanding of Torah. After all, he is Moshe Rabbeinu, he is Moser the Torah. However, it was not necessary for him to pass that on, and on the contrary, it should not have been passed on. Moshe was presumably correct in not passing it on, because it was important for us to rediscover these things over time and to be mechadish them on our own. In fact, the Tosis Yantif, in his Hakdama to his commentary on the Mishnah, explains that that concept is meduyuk in the Lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Melamed Sheher Ehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Dikduke Torah VeDikduke Sofim. It doesn't say that he was Masar Lo, right? When it comes to things which Moshe Rabbeinu passed on, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we would use a Lashon of Mesira or Limud or the like. Here, it's Her Ehu. Hashem let him see them, but Hashem did not want him to pass it on. It's like in government security. They'll sometimes show you a document and they'll say, this is for eyes only, right? It means you're not allowed to disseminate it or talk about it or pass it on. You could see it, for eyes only. So that's the diuk that the Tosis Yantif makes. It says, Her'eyu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Dikduke Torah VeDikduke Sofrim. But it doesn't mean that he transmitted it to him in a way in which he was supposed to pass it on. So Avada, when 1,000 years later Shlomo HaMelech was Mesakein Netilas Yadayim, he wasn't aware that this was something already given to Moshe, at least in an overt way. Another way that you find some Achronim Yashev this question is by saying, no, everything was taka given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was forgotten over time. There are many Gemaras that do seem to discuss Torah being forgotten. The famous case is the Gemara in Tmura Tazayin Amud Aleph that discusses how already B'yamei Evlo Shel Moshe Rabbeinu many halachos were forgotten by Yehoshua, and they were only restored through the Charifus and the Pilpul of Osniel ben Kenaz. The Gemara in Sukkah, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, the Gemara in Shabbos, many sources discuss Shichachas HaTorah. It is a little bit hard to imagine that really Moshe Rabbeinu was Moser, these Dikduke Sofrim, to the next generation, and then eventually they got forgotten only to be restored later, Midirabbanan, but that is an approach you find in some sources. Some sources say this idea that Masro, Dikduke Torah, Dikduke Sofrim is not taken so literally. I'd like to just go over with you one of the most fascinating approaches to this question, which is that of the Sefer Ikrim. But the truth of the matter is, this idea could already be seen in a Medrash earlier, in Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Mem Aleph. The Medrash says, Vayitein al Moshe Amar Rabbi Avo, Kol Mem Yom Sha'asa Moshe L'malo Hayolami Tarev Sheicheach. Moshe Rabbeinu kept on forgetting the Torah over the 40 days he was in Sinai. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually do at the end? He gave it to him as a matana. V'chi kol HaTorah lamad Moshe, k'siv b'Torah arucha me'eretz mido rechava mine yam, ular b'arim yom limda Moshe. Torah is infinite. How is it possible that God could have conveyed the entire Torah in but 40 days? Says the Medrash, Ela klalim limduhu HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. And the way that this is understood by many, I think the simple understanding is that it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moser the klalim to Moshe Rabbeinu, but not the pratim. In fact, this would be very much in consonance with the view of the Rambam, which we discussed last week, namely that any subject about which there is a dispute was not Nimsar LeMoshe Rabbeinu. So then what was given to Moshe? The Medrash says the Klalim. The Ikrim is the one who develops this concept most fully, Mamar Shlishi Perak Mem Gimel, and he writes, the following. Umeasher kol davar nechtav meize min sheyia kvar efshar sheyuvan b'shtei avanos mischalfos. Anytime you're dealing with a written text, it can be understood in multiple ways. As you know, people can find mikoros for just about any ideology within the Torah when you're dealing with a written text. So if you want to find a makor, you could find it. You could always dig up a medrash, dig up a pasuk, and find proof for your position. In fact, the Ikrim brings a humorous example, though also sad, that is also cited by the Rambam in his Igeres Trias HaMesim. I believe we mentioned this before. The Rambam, of course, was accused of denying the resurrection. And the Rambam writes that this is very strange. After all, not only does he affirm that it is an Ikar Emuna, but he says that if someone doesn't believe in it, Ein lam chelek b'toras Moshe, Ein lam chelek b'olam haba, they're not part of Klal Yisrael. And yet he's being accused of denying the Trias HaMesim. So the Rambam says, well, I don't feel so bad. It's no worse than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And the Christians went ahead and derived from that very pasuk the Trinity, because it says, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, three is one, one is three. So the Rambam says, if it could happen to God, so it could happen to me. So the Ikrim says, it could happen to God. So any time that you're dealing with a written text, it could be understood in many ways. Sometimes, perhaps, through less than honest interpretations, but sometimes even honest interpretations of a given text yield very different conclusions. And that being the case, in order for Torah to be temima, in order for Torah to be shlema, so it was necessary that there be both a written and an oral law. The purpose of the oral law was that there would not just be the written text, which could be interpreted in many ways, but also a tradition which transmitted the correct and the true interpretation. Ulefeirush hazeh, the second paragraph, Mitorah shebichtav shemaser Moshe liYoshua v'Yoshua labai macharav hu shekra'o Torah shebal peh. So the correct interpretation of the Torah is what we know as the oral law. Lefi she'iavshar she'yavo ha'perush hazeh bichtav ki bichtav hahu yipol gam kein hasafek she'amarnu she'yipol b'michtav harishon. If the oral law was written, then just as there could be a suffix in the written text of the Torah, then there would be again a suffix in the written text of what would have been the oral law. And that's the reason for the prohibition against writing down the oral law. And in fact, the Ikrim says this is exactly what happened when the oral law was written down. When they wrote down the Mishnah, so then there were disputes about how to read the Mishnah, so they needed the Gemara. When they wrote down the Gemara, there were disputes how to read the Gemara, so there is the Sifrei HaGaonim, and then the Sifrei HaRishonim, and then the Sifrei HaAchronim, v'chahena, v'chahena, v'chahena. Because any time you have a written text, it's subject to dispute. However, as long as there's a definitive oral tradition, then at the very least, it's less likely that disputes will arise. And then, skipping to the next paragraph, ve'al zeh, Hu she'amru rabosenu lo karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bris im Yisrael ela b'shvil Torah shebal peh v'zelefi she'ein metzios lehavanas ha-Torah shebichtav ela im Torah shebal peh. The reason why the Ikar Krisas bris is through the Torah shebal peh is because without the Torah shebal peh, there's no way to know that you've come to the correct interpretation of the Torah shebichtav. The Od, Lefi she'iefshar shetia Torah Hashem yisborach shlema beofen shetaspik b'chol hazmanim. If all there was the written law, so then the Torah would not be something that's relevant to all times. Meaning to say that in each and every time period, new questions arise, whether they're halachic questions, for example, that stem from modern technology, or new philosophical questions or the like. If all there was a written document, so then the written document is unchanging and therefore would be insufficient to address modern questions, new questions. This is reminiscent of the famous statement in Yerushalmi that says that had the Torah been given entirely with clear-cut solutions, chatucha, so then lo haya l'regel amida. And the way many of the Mefarshei Yerushalmi, it's in Sanhedrin Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, understand that is exactly this point, that the Torah was not given chatucha, it was not given as a law book which discusses the specific details and all the details of every case, because then when new cases arise, there would be no way to resolve them. Rather, the Torah was given in such a way, with a written as well as oral component, to allow for the Torah's relevance to remain forever. And this is the way the Ikrim puts it, Lefi shapratim mischadshim tamid b'inyanei anashim. The pratim, which were not given at Sinai, as we saw from the Medrash, that are mischadshim tamid b'mishpatim v'hadvarim haniflaim heim rabim me'od mishiyich l'olam sefer. Al kein, nitnu l'moshe b'sinai al peh durachim kolilim nir mizu b'tar b'ktsara. Kidei she'al yadam yotiu hachachamim shebechol dor vador hapratim hamischadshim. This is very much in line with the Medrash, that Torah is arucha mineyam, and therefore it's the klalim that were transmitted to Moshe, but the pratim hamischadshim bechol yom, bechol dor, it's reminiscent of the Rashbam's Lashon, when he talks about the perushim, the pshutim, pshuto, shel mikra interpretations that are always being mischadshim, these are indeed new. And again, I don't believe this view is, well, it definitely sounds very radical at first, and is without a doubt not consistent to some degree with many of the sources we cited earlier. I do think that it's, when you think about it, it's not as radical, perhaps, as it seems at first. And he continues, V'heim adrachim shenizkeru b'tores kohanim b'tchilaso ba'osa b'raisa. Right? Shalosh esrei mido shatar nidreshesan kavachomer and the like. In other words, like the Rambam, it's the klalim that were given, the mido shatar nidreshos bahen, v'al yidei osan hadrachim o echad mehen yodea kol ma shelo nimtza b'tore b'feirash. Through those tools, we could discover what it was not stated explicitly. Aval mashe nimtza b'tor b'feirasho b'kabbalah in hayotze ba'osan hadrachim mo'il. V'lo ma'ala v'lo morid levat al kasav a'kabbalah. Of course, if you have a explicit pasuk or a tradition saying something, a kabbalah, then these midos don't help you one way or the other. And then he continues and he says, well, if this is the way it works, namely that the klalim were given but the pratim were not, then what do we do in situations where dispute arises? Namely, it's inevitable that if the pratim are left for human beings to discover using the klalim, then there will be dispute. And the Ikrim says that's exactly why the Torah laid down a framework for the resolution of these types of debates and disputes. So we have the principles of Achrei Rabim Lahatos that tell us that in the case of dispute, you go to the Sanhedrin, and the Sanhedrin follows the majority position, and the like. V'kavanasim b'zeh lomar ki lefi shekol adam midarko lachshov machshavos uliaches latzmo his boninus vasvar vasechel yoser mikol mashes ulaso ad shetimtza kama pitiim v'nashim ame haaretz midvarim toa alachachamim v'chashu atzma maskilin yoser mehem amar akasov ki af im yirel l'cholek shachachamim omim yamin shehu small, etc. Then he says, well, what is it meant when it says that you should follow that which the Chachamim say, even if you think it's wrong, al yamin shu smol shu smol shu yamin, because that's because naturally people do tend to be very confident in their positions, in their opinions, and even if they're not necessarily qualified to come to an opinion, they nevertheless will be 100% sure it's correct. So the Torah says, that when it comes to the interpretation of the Torah, one must absolutely subjugate their understanding to that of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, and follow their position. And he continues along this line. Just one more source and I'll take some questions. The Torah Tumima very much endorses this school of thought, and he says that this is the meaning of the famous Gemara Menachos, Chaf Tes Amud Beis, that describes the godless of Rabbi Akiva through a story in which Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting in his classroom, and Ras Rabbi Akiva Dore shall call coats for coats, Tile Tilim shall halachos bepilpo, Veloy Yodea Mahain, Tashash Kocho shall Moshe, but Kevan Shihigia Rabbi Akiva Ladavar Achad, Amru lo talmidav, zeminayin lacha. Amr lehu, zeu alach l'moshe misinai, v'nis yashva dato shel Moshe. At first glance, that discussion is perplexing. If every single chelek of Torah, klalim and pratim, were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai, then why was it that he was unable to understand Rabbi Akiva's chidushim? And moreover, why was he consoled when Rabbi Akiva said halacha l'moshe misinai? The answer, says the Torah Tumima, is harei mevuar mefurash shikach hevinu chazal bedrasha shelefaneinu halachos hakvuos nemru l'moshe Moshe Rabbeinu was comforted because there are certain things that we need Moshe for, that you can't derive using pilpul, using svara, but that are only known to us precisely because we have a direct mesorah. Now again, I don't wish to imply that this perspective of the Torah Tumima, the Sefer Ikrim, the simple reading of that Medrash, the Perashat Mishnayos LaRambam, and the like is the only perspective. And to be sure, as we saw last week, there are those that understand the statements more literally. This, of course, may go back to the Machlokas we discussed last week concerning the dispute between the Gaonim and the Rambam with respect to Mesorah and Shechecha and the like. And there are also middle opinions as well. Okay. Wow. Go ahead.
How do you define what's present and what's called?
So it's not always clear. The Rambam, for example, we saw noted that it's not, the only way you could tell sometimes is whether there's a machlokas on it or not. So it's not clear. The way the Ikrim seems to present it is it something that we could derive on our own using the Midosh Atar Nidrashis Bahen? So then it's probably Pratim. If it's something for which you need a Mesorah for, then it's Klalim. But it's, I don't know if anyone gives a firm and definitive definition. Yes?
So based on many of the sources say that the Rabbanan have divine origin, then I have a few questions on that. One is, then why is there a difference in weightiness that's put on in the Rabbanan and in the right, then if they're both of divine origin? And then another one, sort of extending from that, is why are Din and the Rabbanan timeless, in the sense that if once they're created, we don't they're upper and even when they're no longer applicable.
Okay, so let's look at each of those questions independently. In terms of the first question, if dinim derabanan came from Moshe, then why aren't they came from Hashem at Sinai? Then why aren't they deraisa? So first of all, again, if you follow this later approach of the Rambam, the Ikrim, and the like, then their understanding of the Gemaras that say that dinim derabanan were given at Sinai is not literal. It doesn't mean literally they were given at Sinai. It means the roots for these dinim derabanan perhaps come from the Torah of Sinai. But even if you don't accept that approach, so it's clear that these were made up by human beings. Meaning to say that even if we assume that literally the Takana derabanan of Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but when Esther and Mordechai and the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah were misaken the holiday of Purim, it's not like they had a tradition from Moshe concerning this. In fact, the Gemara records that there was a great debate whether it was legitimate to establish a new holiday. Was it perhaps Baal Tosef or the like? So it was only when they could go ahead and show that it was rooted in the Torah that it became legitimate. But that doesn't mean to say that it's Mefurish Bikra. No, this is something that was made up by human beings. And I think everybody's going to agree that that is the case, that mitzvos and takanos derabanan are of human origination. Their authority comes from the Torah, but they're of human origin. Now, if so, well, why is it? So that's why they're certainly very different than dinim deraisa. Now, you still might ask, well, why are they more lenient? And that gets into the machlokas between a Rambam and a Ramban in terms of the basis for rabbinic authority. Is it based on the psukim, lo sasur, then the Ramban, as the Rambam claims? Then the Ramban says, well, why are we more lenient? Why do we say safik derabanan and lakulan? And of course, there are many answers to that question, either because if there was no distinction between dinim derabanan and dinim deraisa, then every din derabanan would be a violation of Baal Tosef, as the Rambam says. Meaning to say, the only reason why a din derabanan isn't Baal Tosef is because Chazal clearly said that these are rabbinic, these are man-made, these are not from the Torah, these are from us. And if they didn't say that, if they said, Hashem said don't eat basar of b'chalav, or the Torah says don't eat basar of b'chalav, then that very takana would be an iser deraisa of Baal Tosef. And to highlight that distinction, they made differences in the bylaws. That's one answer. Rav Shimon Shkup has a very beautiful conceptual answer. There are many, many answers to that question in terms of why they are different on a practical level. Okay. What was the second question? Sorry.
Why, right.
So that's also, again, a bigger discussion. I don't know if we'll discuss it. It's more of a halachic discussion. But why is it that batla taima lo batla takana? Right? So, first of all, they're not truly eternal to some degree, meaning to say that a later, they are subject to akira. Just because we say batla taima lo batla takana doesn't mean that you can't be oker the takana. Rather, it means that they are not automatically rescinded unless a later Beis Din, that's gadol, b'chachmo v'minyan, rescinds them. But we do in fact have examples of dinim derabanan that were rescinded when their need for them no longer was relevant. So, Gzeres Nechemia ben Chakalia, right? He went ahead and prohibited all tiltal kalim, except for the three very basic kalim necessary. And the Gemara says, chazru v'tiru, chazru v'tiru, chazru v'tiru, until all that remained is kli shemachto le'isser, except l'tzach guf l'tzach makomo, and kli shemachto le'heter, etc. So we do have examples of that. And the truth of the matter is, even the principle of bat la'tayma lo bat la'ktakan and davar sheb'minyan sarach minyan acher la'tiru is not such a simple klal. There do seem to be exceptions. The question is, how do you understand those exceptions? That's a machlokas rishonim. And that's a bigger topic that goes beyond that. There might be certain things that can't be rescinded. The Rambam is machalik between a gzera that was niskabel and the like. But there's no doubt that even with that rule, we don't treat dinim derabanan like dinim deraisa. Another important thing, the Gemara in Erevin tells us, and many of the achronim, like the Gra, play this up, that even though there is a overt reason given for takanos derabanan, they may be very other non-explicitly stated reasons. The Gemara in Ervin says, I think there are 1,500 reasons given for every din derabanan. In other words, besides that which was explicit and overt, some of them we might know, some of them we might not know. There are certain Gemaras that indicate that at certain times, reasons for the takanos were hidden, precisely because had the official reason been given, they would not have been observed, or the purpose wouldn't have been carried out. Again, a broader topic. Okay, now there are a lot of questions, but we have a lot to do, so maybe I'll take one more, and then after this year, I'm certainly happy to take many more. Oh, all the hands went down. Yes. Sure.
Doesn't that sound like a bit of a politician's trick? A politician's trick.
Uh-huh.
Like the rabbis say, we want to achieve a certain purpose, but we can't actually tell the masses this. So we'll give them a reason that's not really the reason, but it'll get them to observe it.
Now's not the time to discuss that. If you want, we can. I could show you the makoros. I think that it's not a politician's trick. First of all, oftentimes they did convey the correct reason through other means, but it's dealing with reality. And the reality is that people don't always observe things properly if they know the reasons. Lahavdil, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we saw earlier in the year, said that even within Dinim De'oraisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give the reasons, because in cases where he gave the reasons for the mitzvos, a great person, namely Shlomo HaMelech, was nichshal because he argued that the reason doesn't apply to him. And if that's true for Dinim De'oraisa, Alachas Kama V'Kama, that fear would apply for rabbinic legislation. Okay. In your Makoro sheets, there are a couple of things that we're going to skip just because I want to move on already. There's some Makoros on the nature of Chiddush. What does Chiddush mean? There's some Makoros on when the Torah is written, the Gemara and Gittin. What does Megillah Nitna? What does Chasuma Nitna mean? We're going to skip those. There are Makoros concerning the idea that the Torah itself is eternal, existed before the creation of the world, the Zohar, Histakel Baraisu Vari Alma, the idea that the Torah reflects eternal truths which are only nislabesh in the physical garments and words that are the Torah, and that whenever exactly the Torah was given and whenever it was written, in a certain sense, is not the Iker. The Iker is that the Torah is Nitzchi, it's Chachmas Hashem, and that is why, by the way, Torah is so important to learn, because it's the only way, or certainly the primary way, through which we're able to arrive at Chachmas Hashem and Yediyas Hashem. The idea in the Ramban and the Gra and other Sfarim that all wisdom is included in Torah, not just what we call Torah, but secular wisdom, history, every single thing is included within Torah, because Torah is Nitzri and Torah is Chachmas Hashem. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean most people are going to be able to discern it. A distinction that emerges both from the Ramban and the Gra is that while it certainly is the case that all wisdom can be found within Torah, there may sometimes be a practical value of figuring things out on your own or through other means besides Torah directly. Just as a quick manifestation of that, but again, without going into details, you're all familiar with the famous statement from Baruch Mishklov, found in his introduction to the translation of Euclid into Hebrew, in which he writes B'Shem HaGra, and while there's some dispute whether the Gra actually said this, there's very strong evidence that he did. It was published 20 years, I think, before the Gra's death, that a person needs to, or the Gra urged him to translate Euclid and other secular works because those works are necessary to understand Torah. And yet the Gra also says, again, if you just want one example from the Makoro sheet, V'aklal ki kol ma shehaya v'hove v'yiyeh ad olam hakol kalul b'Torah mibereshis ad le'enei kol Yisrael v'lo aklalim bilvad el afilu pratav shel kol minu min v'shel kol adam b'frat. This is from the Hakdama to Sifra Ditzniusa. That every single thing, all wisdom, history, science, philosophy, and of course Torah, are rooted and can be found in Torah. It's true, but you can't always necessarily see it. Not everybody is able to discern that type of wisdom within the Torah, therefore there might be a makom for finding it out and discovering it through other means. In other words, if you're practically not going to discover geometry in Torah, then you might be valuable to learn it from Euclid. But the yesod is that everything that's true is to be found within Torah. And that's an idea that's also that also emerges from the Ramban's Drashas Torah, Sashem Tamima, and the like. You have the Chazon Ish here that I mentioned last week from Simen Kuf Chaf Hei about the ordering of the giving of the Torah. The next section in your sheets, in the Makoros, is about Matan Torah, which of course relates to this. Everything comes, what exactly was given at Sinai is what we've been talking about, but what was the nature of that revelation? The Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that it is impossible for any person to expound the revelation on Har Sinai more fully than our sages have done, since it is of the secrets of the law, and it is very difficult to have a true conception of the events, for it never happened before and will never happen again. So we can't really understand what exactly happened at Ma'amad Har Sinai. In fact, the Pasuk says, Al yeharsu la'alos el Hashem. And the way the Rambam understands that in Mor Nevuchim Chelek Aleph Perek Vav, as well as Rabbeinu Bachya over here from Perek Yotes of Shmos, this is a warning urging people not to try to understand things they are unable to understand. There's a great danger. That's what happened to many of the people at Har Sinai. They pushed too far and were punished for that. And that being the case, one has to be aware and humble of their own restrictions and limitations in terms of what we can understand. Earlier in the year, so I don't want to get back into this, we discussed the seeming contradiction within the Rambam about the nature of Matan Torah. On the one hand, the Rambam tells us that the basis for our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and especially in Torah, is the fact that we all experienced mass revelation, namely that we all prophesied at Har Sinai. We all heard the Dvar Hashem, and as opposed to Emuna, which is based off of miracles, where a person always has a tinge of doubt, here we had no tinge of doubt because we truly experienced prophecy. At the time, we talked about how that can be reconciled with the Rambam's position in Mor Nevuchim, that only Moshe Rabbeinu heard differentiated words, and all of Klal Yisrael only heard the kol. There are a couple of additional makoros on that topic that I include here in your makoro sheets that I didn't know then, including a remarkable comment from Rabbi Avram ben Arambam on this topic, and you could take a look at the Makoros again for more on this topic. There's also an interesting discussion here concerning the nature of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu insofar as it was different from all other prophets. An idea from the Meshech Chachma and the Sefer Ikrim that to a certain degree he lost even Bechira Chafshis, and how that relates to the nature of Matan Torah. And again, all these are here, and while I was originally planning on discussing it a little more, I think we should move on to our next topic, which we will begin this week and finish next week. Be'ezras Hashem, that's the concept, the topic of Eil Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, which is begins on page 42 of your Makaro sheets. After we do Eil Ve'ilu, we're going to turn to the topic of Bechiras Yisrael, why we were chosen, what is the nature of our chosenness, can we ever be rejected, are there inherent differences between Jews and non-Jews, or is it based on our actions and the like. And then, if we still have time, at the end of the year we'll have, there is a Bechina, for better or for worse, and we'll have a Chazar Shir before that. Brian suggested, so I thank him for this suggestion, that maybe for the last couple of weeks, if there are any particular topics or questions that you would like discussed, I'd be happy to try to address them. So if you have things that you'd like to do, topics, questions, or the like, email me and or tell me personally, either way, and I would be very happy to do my best to discuss them. So, did you have a question?
What does it mean to say that that's a matter of reference to Torah?
So, this is generally presented in a mystical concept. For example, if you know how to read the words or codes of the words, you might take out the letter, take out the spaces, and put, break up the words in different sequences, for example, and through reading between the lines or reading the words differently or the like, all wisdom could be revealed. And in Torah Sasod, there are sometimes different means by which this is actually done. And if you look at the writing of the Gra and others, it sounds like they were able to do this to some extent. But it's certainly not something that I am able to relate to or do what at all. And as I said, even the Gra and the Ramban and others who stress this idea note that this is something that is oftentimes for everybody or almost everybody impossible, and therefore there's a need to use other means.
Is he saying that even future events that people will...
Yes, he says that explicitly, future events. Apparently, HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't allow people to figure these out in a way that would limit Bechira Chafshis. Okay. So, the topic we're going to start now, Eilu Ve'ilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, is of course very much related to our previous topic. Namely, the idea of Eilu Ve'ilu relates very much to the nature of revelation. The more you see revelation and Matan Torah as open-ended, the easier it is to understand Eilu V'Eilu. But nevertheless, one way or the other, Eilu V'Eilu is very hard to understand. How could two seemingly irreconcilable positions both be true and both be the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And essentially what we're going to do is consider three different approaches to understanding Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. The first we could call the Ritva's approach, the second we could call the Ran's approach, and the third is an idea that's found in the Maharal and Rav Kook and the like. There are probably many other approaches, and the truth is that I'm merging different things together, but for purposes of organization, I think this is the best way to do it. So, we'll just start with the Gemara that you all know. Erev and Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Shalosh Shanim, again, page 42, Nechlaku, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Halalu Omim Halacha Kemoseinu, Valalu Omim Halacha Kemoseinu, Yatza Baskol, V'amra, Eilu V'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, V'Halacha Kebeis Hillel. So, this Baskol And the Rishonim deal with the question of why or can we be mashgiach bebas kol. But leaving that issue aside, this bas kol tells us a very important yesod, which is it's possible for both positions to be divrei Elokim chayim, and at the same time, the normative halacha has to follow one opinion. And the way that this is generally understood is that even if it's true that Shitas Beis Shammai is the Dvar Hashem, but a legal system needs some degree of uniformity, there has to be a way to determine the normative law. Usually we determine the normative law through following the principle of Rov. The role of Bas Kol is, of course, an important element as well, possibly. So when we say that the halacha is like Ploni and not like Ploni, that's because the normative position follows that, but it doesn't necessarily reflect the fact that that position that we reject is not MS or is not Dvar Hashem. This, of course, might relate to why it is that minority positions or rejected positions are recorded in Mishnayos and Gemara and the like. Why do we spend so much time considering the view that we don't accept lahalacha and even havaminas? And the answer is because they too reflect the Dvar Hashem and contain within them MS. Of course, it is interesting that if you look at the Mishnah in Edios, which asks the question why minority positions are recorded, and some of the Rishonim on that Mishnah, they don't, for the most part, give this answer. And perhaps that's because we're looking for a more practical solution. However, it is an interesting Hara, which perhaps we'll go back to a little bit later and might support a certain perspective on Elu V'Elu Div Elokim Chayim. What does it apply to? The Gemara says it's true concerning the machlokos between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Is it true about every machlokos? So Rashi in Ksubos on the bottom of 42 says that no, doesn't necessarily apply to everything. For example, we don't say concerning a dispute about an event that actually happened, Elu V'Elu, if there is a machlokos concerning what Rav said in Shir. One of the students said he said mutter, and one student says that he said aser. It may very well be that the student that says mutter is wrong, misunderstood. Rav said aser. He actually said something, and if he said aser, then he didn't say mutter. So Elu V'Elu may not be said concerning things of that sort. However, and Rosh, still unclear exactly the scope, at least from these makoros. What about machlokas amorayim, for example, and the like? And this concept, of course, is reflected in many ways. The medrash of shivim panim latorah, the gemara kepatish yifotet sela, ma patish zem mischalik lekama nitzotzos, af mikra echad yotze lekama ta'amim, that just like a pasuk could be interpreted in many ways, well, perhaps a halacha could be understood differently. Or perhaps we'll say no. Those are two separate points. A pasuk could be understood in multiple levels, but when it comes to a question in halacha, something tamir tahor, how could there be more than one possible true and correct answer? The Sugya of Tanur Shalachnai in Bav Metzia Nun Tesamid Beis, of course, is very relevant to this question. And I think that for the time being, we won't get into that Gemara, though again, that's a very important makor, not just about Elu V'Elu, but also about the nature of Mesorah and Kviyas Halacha. However, I'd like to begin with the first approach, as I mentioned, the approach of the Ritva. Now, it's known as the approach of the Ritva. It's not the Ritva's approach, but it's the Ritva quoting the Chachmei Tzarfas, and it's also found in the Bali Tosfos and Tosos Shants and Edios on that Mishnah, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Hei, And this idea is the following. Shalu Rabbeinu Tzarfas Zal Heyach Efshar Sheyeshneim Divrei Elokim Chayim V'zeh Oser V'zeh Matir. How is it possible that they're both the words of God if one opinion says mutter and one opinion says usser? After all, didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say either mutter or usser? So how could we say they're both the words of the Ribono Shel Olam? V'tirtzu, ki kesha'ala Moshe l'marom, l'kabel Torah, her'eyu lo al kol davar v'davar, mem tes panim l'isser, umem tes panim l'heter. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim to study the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not always tell him the final solution. Rather, he told him 49 stadim lahatir and 49 stadim lasor, 49 stadim lahakel and 49 stadim lahachmir. V'shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu al zeh. Moshe was rather perplexed. He asked God, why don't you tell me the bottom line? V'amar, sheyehe zeh maser l'chachmei Yisrael shebechol dor vador, v'yeh hachra kamosam, that the ultimate decision will be made by the chachamim of each and every generation. Meaning to say, literally it is true, elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim. The opinion of Beis Shammai was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the opinion of Beis Hillel was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. And not only that, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't machria. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that the sages of each and every generation will resolve this question. And therefore, they are both true, multiple truths. Both the position of Beis Shammai is the Dvar Hashem, both of them are true. This is a very hard concept to understand. How could two things both be true simultaneously, especially when they're contradictory? How could Hashem leave it up to us? When the Chavos Yair, Simon Kuf Tzadi Beis, discusses this concept, he says, Zeh tamua, ki ma yo'il davar shebe'emes tamei. However, many Rishonim say it. And not only do the Rishonim say it, but it's really a Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi. It's inconceivable, I think, that the Rishonim could make something like this up. And though they don't quote this Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi L'chora is the Makor, the Yerushalmi says, Amar Rebbe Yanai, Ilu nitna hatayra l'chatucha, lo haisa l'regel amida. Had the Torah been given in clear-cut decisions, so we wouldn't be able to stand. This is an idea that we saw alluded to some degree in the Ikrim we saw earlier. Ma tam v'daber Hashem ha-Moshe, Amar lefan ha-ribono shel olam, hodieni he'achi ha-halacha, Amar lo, acharam lahatos. So what's the halacha? What's the bottom line? There are so many different perspectives. The answer is, you follow the majority. Rabu HaMizakim Zachu Rabu HaMachayven Chivu Kedei Shetei HaTorah Nidreshes Mem Tes Panim Tamei Umem Tes Panim Tahor Minyan V'Diglu V'chein Hu Omer Imros Hashem Imros Tehoros Kesef Tsaruf Be'alil Le'eretz Mizukak Shivasayim V'Omer Mesharim Ahivucha. Meaning to say, as we saw in the Ritva, the different possibilities were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, but the ultimate decision was Nimsar L'Chachmei Yisrael to decide Al Pi Rov. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that Moshe was not given anything definitive on Sinai, but at the very least, it's referring to things, the machlokos that later developed, the machlokos about which we say Elu v'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. So those, in those cases, both positions are both true. One way to understand it, I think Rabbi Weinberger, Rav Yaakov Weinberger, the Zatzal of Ner Yisrael, gave an analogy. He said that this is something akin to x squared equals 4, where we would say that what's the answer? If you say 2, that's correct. It fits the equation. If you say -2, that's also correct. It fits the equation. So what's the correct answer? The answer is that they are both correct. Meaning to say, anything which solves the equation is correct. So the way he understands this ritva is as follows. If I offer an interpretation and it correctly explains the text, the Torah which we received, then it too is MS. It too is part of the Dvar Hashem. And this is the most, in a certain sense, expansive and perspective of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. There are other ways in which this is presented. There's a famous statement here from the Yamshel Shlomo in his Hakdama to Bava Kamma. Many of these Makoros, by the way, can be found in Rabbi Rosenzweig's excellent essay on this topic, which I referred to earlier, in which he says that everybody is naturally limited in their ability to understand the eternity and the infinity that is in Torah, because as human beings, we're finite, we're limited. And thus, everybody at Har Sinai had only a narrow perspective. As it were, all of Klal Yisrael gathered around the mountain, but looking up, they only saw their own perspective. Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps from the top, could see down and recognize all the different paths. But looking up, you only have one view. And he says that's what happened, that there were different sinoros, in which 49 sinoros in which the Torah was given, and some people relate to certain ones, and some people relate to other ones. And that's why some Chachamim have one perspective and some Chachamim have a different perspective. And it seems like Machlokes, but the reality is that all of it comes back to Moshe Rabbeinu. There's an amazing Psikta de Rav Kahana. It says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Amar Rebbe Levi, this is the bottom of page 45, Nire Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ki'ikunin Hazu, Sheyesh lapanim mikol makom, elef bnei adam mabitin ba, v'hi mabetes bekulam. So, I don't know what this is exactly. A hologram of sorts. Everybody, 1,000 people could look at it, and it looks back at each of them, right? So even if I'm standing here and you're standing here and we both look at it, we both see it staring back at it at us. So that's what Ma'amad Har Sinai was. Kach HaKadosh Baruch Hu k'shaya medaber kol echad ve'echad mi'Yisrael haya omer imi hadavar medaber anochi Hashem Elokeichem ein k'siv kan el anochi Hashem Elokecha. The Aseres HaDibros were given b'lashon yachid. Each person heard anochi Hashem Elokecha. It was like a personal conversation with 3 million people. And naturally, that leads to there being different understandings and different perspectives, even if everything ultimately goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is one approach. It's not the only approach, and next week, Be'ezras Hashem will begin with some of the other approaches to Elu V'Elu, especially those who claim, no, that's impossible. You can't have multiple truths, at least in this sense. And when you have a machlokas, one position is karov el ha'emes from the other. It's not really true that they're both equally emes. Everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and I'll see you later.